Welcome back to another episode of the Hooligans Pitch. It is episode 86. It's Turkey Week. Chad, what's going on?
It's raining.
Oh, shoot. It's raining what? Yeah.
We've been having a... It's a bomb cyclone and an atmospheric river. So it's just been like nonstop rain for the past, I don't know, 3-4 days at this point.
Oh, geez.
It's almost done. But, you know, rain, a rainy morning... Watching some EPL, it feels right.
Sounds nice. I would take many more days of rain and downpouring if the city streak continues. I won't lie. True. I have not really watched any city games lately, and at this point, I don't really want to. I'm going to kind of just sit back, see what happens. but this is something we haven't seen in a long time, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean... We've said it before, anytime City loses, the whole league loved that, but for them to keep losing, it's getting better and better.
And with that, we will, I think, pop our bevies. Yes. Going with a, I thought I was drinking a classic, but I'm actually drinking a tropical fresh. I thought it was a fresh squeezed. But...
Oh, I could see with the mix-up. It's very similar design.
Very light blue.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I'm on the seasonal beer train, so got... Sierra Nevada celebration.
Nice. You know, nice.
Tis the season.
Of course. All right, Chad, to get us started, interesting stat for you to take a peek at. At this point of the season, between first and second place, we are now sitting at 8 points. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
8 points. This is the biggest gap in first and second in 31 years in the Premier League at this time.
In 31
years. 31 years.
Wow.
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there would have been a City runaway in recent years, or even a Liverpool runaway in recent years, but I guess those two were always pretty tight, and wow, that's a bigger time than I thought, honestly. Like,
I'm scared to be here. I won't lie. Like, I was thinking about it, you know, and if you're down to just jump straight into Southampton here, Liverpool, I thought they would kind of crush them. I had a 4-0 score line set up. Didn't go that way. Of course, some controversial calls that happened. But deep down, I was like, if we lose this game, that's okay. Which I haven't said about a Liverpool game. I don't know, in a very, very long time. So, of course, we pulled out the victory, but it was a almost a nail-biter.
Almost.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can kind of get into it. Overwhelmed Southampton right from the start. Southampton was trying to be cute and play it out from the back. And that's just, with a team like Liverpool who are so pacey up front, like, bad things are coming. They did it once and got away with it, and it was really, really close. But then the second time after the Szoboszlai goal, they didn't do that again. That was immediately over with. But the positioning on it was so terrible. The goalkeeper was at the top of the six-yard box while his defenders were behind him.
It was all strange. And, like, the first guy the ball gets rolled to is, like, yes, I guess technically open, but there were still so many Liverpool players around that it was such a dangerous play.
And the keeper looked like he was mad at I'm not sure who got the ball at that time. Maybe it was Jack Stevens. He looked annoyed that he didn't find the right outlet and immediately had to go backwards. And then, of course, terrible clearance. You know, no Ramsdale this game. So I'm pretty sure that was McCarthy's first game for Southampton since getting pulled in the beginning of the season. So, of course, he should be playing his absolute safest here. Yeah. And it wasn't.
No, I just don't think it was really necessary. I mean, I get the benefit of playing out from the back, but, you know, I think let's take a look at how Southampton has been playing and some of the, you know, problems they've already created for themselves in other games. Just play safe. You know, especially Liverpool, they're flying this season. Yeah, it's after international break. There's some weird things that can happen then, but, like, just play safe. You're in no position to really try and take this team on anyway.
Yeah, and Liverpool pounced on it. To jump forward here, the defending on this first Southampton goal was atrocious defending on our end. The way the counter happened and the way our defenders just gravitated towards the ball instead of staying structured was awful. If you go back and watch that pass, I think it was both Bradley, Konate, and I don't think Virgil was there for that one. It might have been Gravenberch. But they all collapsed to the ball and then, of course, left the middle of the field wide open. So I'm not shocked that goal happened. That was definitely a what are we doing moment here. Probably the worst like sequence I've seen out of the team this year. But then we got to talk about the Mo Salah goal, the first of the day.
Wow.
I just watched it again and I literally let out some crazy sounds just because of how crazy that touch was.
It was the most perfect little like kiss of the ball into the net.
He just rolled it in there. He said like, I'm going to hit it hard enough to where it's going to go in the goal without even touching it, but soft enough to where like you think you're going to get it. You think. Yeah. And they still ran for it a little bit and then we're like, no way. There's no way this is happening. Salah's the best player in the world right now. Can we agree on that?
I think that it's probably accurate. I mean, like, trying to think of the other big names, you know, your Vinny Jr., your Mbappe's, like, they're performing, but I think Salah is just performing and has been so consistent that, like, I think he alone is that number one right now.
He is on his eighth consecutive season with 10-plus goals. It's just unheard of. If Liverpool can win some type of title this year, and maybe a little extra, Ballon d'Or for Salah is not out of the question. And he came out recently saying that no contract has been offered to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sell this.
What are we doing?
That's what I was going to ask you. What are they doing?
Throw the bag at him right now. Make him a Liverpool legend. If his golden years don't work out, that's fine, dude. You don't sell this guy right now or make him feel like he's on the outs with the way he's playing. Is he motivated? Yeah. Like, and I think paying him, I think it'll just, usually you pay people right and you kind of see him coast. I don't think that's the Salah we're going to get this year. I mean, to be fair, have we ever gotten a Salah that has just coasted? No.
I don't think so, yeah.
And
I was trying to understand too of just like, why are you not trying to sign your star player at like the first moment you can, right? Like keep him there. 32. So yeah, it's at the end of his, you know, top professional play, but he still looks great. He still looks quick. He's making good passes. He's doing, you know, every kind of shot you want him to take. Obviously scoring goals. I get it's an age thing. It's a risk that, you know, you've seen plenty of players perform, get that last contract, and then just kind of ride it out. Like you said, I don't think Salah's that kind of player. I think as long as that club wants him there and the fans want him and coach wants him, he'll pay that back. I think, you know, 32, I don't know, give him another 2-3 years, you know, like, he looks great. I think you at the very least get one more solid year out of him, but I think you could get another 2-3 years easy.
And to bring this up too, he's had 9 yellow cards in his tenureship with Liverpool. 5 of them have come after taking his shirt off in celebration of a goal. I will add, I'm pretty sure his abs are getting more ripped as each year goes on. Is that like old man strength? I don't know. We're the same age. I can't say anything about what I got going on, but it's crazy, dude. He took off his shirt off. It's like, damn it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Liverpool would be insane to let him go or sell him. It just doesn't make any sense to, like, you don't really have anyone lined up in that position to step into that role right away and succeed. So I think you keep Salah for another handful of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, grab whoever you think might be his successor, or, you know, if certainly not to like his level, but at least someone that can kind of fill that role, and like get them up to speed, and then just, you know, if Salah starts to tire out sooner in the season than before because he's just a little bit older, a little bit, you know, more time in the legs. Then you got someone to rotate with. So I think they will. I think as much as Salah's saying there's no, you know, contact with him, there, I feel like there must be, at least with his agent. And, you know, maybe it's nothing substantial yet, but I'm sure that door is open. And because like some of the comments make it sound like the door is almost closed. But I think that would just be such a stupid move and such a loss.
Yep. Yep. Well, with that, Salah scoring the PK, confidence is just through the roof right now. He's on a 3-game goal scoring streak in the Premier League. This is the biggest week in the season for us right now. Real Madrid and then City on the weekend. Either a win with either of those, I'm happy with. Obviously, both would be awesome. I think I would rather have the City win just because of how the group table works out in Champions League.
You're at the top of
the
table for the Champions League, right?
We have not lost. We've actually kind of been crushing it. 3-1 AC Milan, 2-0 Bologna, 1-0 Leipzig, and then 4-0 Bayern Leverkusen, which is supposed to be like the test. So things are looking good.
I mean, from my perspective, I want you to get that win over City. Keep taking points away from them. But I think, like you said, either one is a good win here. I don't think it's out of the question that Liverpool will get both fairly easy. You know, Madrid, from, not that I watch them enough, but, you know, kind of see things come across my social spheres and stuff. And they're playing well, but seem to be struggling a bit too. Whereas Liverpool's been kind of like consistently just cruising, you know, save for the Forest game and some moments in other games. But overall, pretty straightforward. Feed Salah, you're going to win.
Well, everyone just seems to be playing. Every game, it's Salah and someone else. Yep. And that's the best thing about it. The Madrid test, though, this weekend or this week, Vinny Jr. is going to be out for a while. So my fear is that Mbappe is going to play on that left wing again, which is
probably
where we see him should be playing all the time. So I'm hoping that doesn't unlock some Super Saiyan Mbappe, because this will be his first game starting at left wing for Madrid. And yeah, kind of like a trap. So we'll see. But Madrid has been struggling too. All of those stars on that team not really working out in the best way. And then, of course, City.
But that, see, I want to favor the City, the win over City here, because they're already down in the dumps.
Yeah.
Now you're coming up against, you know, their title rivals for the past 5 years, 6 years, whatever it's been. And you know, I poke around the other team subreddits every now and then, and the City fans immediately were like, all right, this is the game to come back to. Liverpool is going down. Like, they're feeling confident, and you know, as they probably should. You know, they're in a weird spot, but overall their team has been good over the past 2 years. But I want to keep seeing them get knocked down a peg. And
what are the good things City fans are saying right now? We'll bounce back, because we always do.
They feel like they're going to bounce back. They're going to show up for Liverpool because, you know, it's that rivalry there.
They're forgetting one thing, though. They don't have Rodri anymore.
They don't have Rodri. Is Kovacic still out? Because he was like the fill-in for Rodri.
I don't think he played this weekend.
He didn't play this weekend. He was out. November 22nd, Kovacic is injured. It will be a while, a few weeks or 1 month. So he'll be out. You know, Haaland is getting shots off, but not great shots, I'd say. Maybe trying to do a little too much sometimes too. De Bruyne is still this like 20-minute cameo, and even then it's pretty lackluster. Phil Foden, I think, is the same that he's always been. It's just in a team that's not working right now.
Game low, 5.7 rating.
So I don't know, like, I understand supporting your team and getting behind them, but the confidence they were their subreddit was exuding going into the Liverpool game was just making me laugh, because you just got slapped by Tottenham at home, and they're already your bogey team, and now it's like even more so, like bold underline, like you don't want to play Tottenham.
Chad, they've been getting slapped since October. That's what's crazy too. This has lasted.
Yeah. And I think really, like, we could maybe extend that out. I know not losses, but, you know, as we've seen over the season and talked about already, they've looked very shaky. You know, they got the Arsenal game came down the last second.
Wolves.
I think the Wolves game, yeah, it was last second. Like, these games were away from them, and you know, they came up with some last minute heroics or you know, the crazy goal sort of thing, which I get it, big teams, championship teams will need, but maybe you weren't getting slapped then, but like you're flirting with danger the whole season, I feel like. I don't know that they've really hit a good stride ever.
Again, this is something we haven't seen in 31 years of being on top. Yeah. This big of a point spread. It's an unknown area, unknown territory. The pressure is already end of November, all on Liverpool now to kind of stay up there. But you just go down the list though, all the way down to what? Let's just stop at 10th. From 10 to second is 5 points off.
Yeah.
So that's crazy right now, and I'm going to kind of go a little off topic. When you can, go take a look at the Serie A table. That one's incredible right now. From first to fifth, it's 1 point difference.
Oh my gosh.
So I know if we're talking about crazy like runs right now.
Yeah.
That just caught my attention. I mean,
that's what you want as a fan. Like, I get you feel better when your team's the one on top there, but you don't want the seasons where one team runs away with it, and like, you know, I get right now Liverpool kind of is running away with it, right? But like, you want it to be tight through it. Just at least I do. I want the excitement and drama.
I do.
I would love a nice, you know, Arsenal cruise to the finish. But that's not really the you know, the love of sport kind of vibe. Like,
no, and I don't expect to win this league by 8 points or more by the end. That's pretty unrealistic considering how the last decade has been, where it's going to be 2 to 3 teams up there with 2 to 3 weeks left. So yeah, City's in trouble. I can't wait to play them this weekend. It is going to be a must watch doozy of a match. I don't know what time are we playing at. I have 10 a.m. my time.
Yeah, that sounds right. 8 a.m. for me. Yeah,
prime time game. I'm ready.
Yeah, that's gonna be a spicy one. I think it's, you know, obviously, yeah, City will be looking to bounce back, but I think Liverpool's just they're in such a flow state right now, and they're their season, I think they're just charging forward,
They're in a zone, Chad. That'll be the last game of the weekend, so if you don't have plans that Sunday, maybe we jump on right after and get immediate thoughts, immediate feelings out. Actually, that Sunday is actually lining up to be a really nice day. Tottenham, Fulham, Manchester United, Everton, Chelsea, Aston Villa. So a solid Sunday morning. Saturday, kind of the weaker side of the table. But you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm good with Liverpool talk. You want to jump on Arsenal?
Yeah. You know, just as you were saying, like, you know, this Liverpool game is, if you lost it, it was okay. I was feeling if Arsenal lost this one, this is not okay. I get that Forest were above us in the table at the time, so we're punching up a little bit, but but no, luckily, kind of right from the get-go, you could feel that Arsenal was kind of back to the form that they should have been in, clicking well with each other, making good passes, making the runs, just kind of controlling. Was a little bit nervous when some of the main starters weren't out there. But we take it. You know, Arteta has been learning to rotate players and sit players out if they're carrying an injury. And like we know, Ben White had been carrying injuries for quite a while, and they finally decided to do his knee surgery or something. So he's out for a few months now, which is a big loss. But I'm hoping they were more able to kind of choose the time that they did this, rather than it was like, oh, it has to happen now, and they feel like, you know, the other defenders are in a healthy enough state that they should be able to see through this period and provide enough cover. Fingers crossed. but yeah, you know, Arsenal looked good. Saka not having to go away on international break looked like he was fully rested.
For sure.
Back to his best. You know, his goal was great. He showed a lot of good patience. I thought he missed his shot window initially, but keeps dragging across the top of the box, and then, you know, takes probably the harder shot to go back across goal with it. But man, it looked great.
How many times did you yell shoot before he actually shot?
Well, there was like, because he picks up that pass and there's that first window, and I was like, that was it. And then he keeps going. It's like, okay, now shoot. Like, there's probably three times at least before he shot.
For sure. And then just bang that ball with the quickest step. I mean, from watching from the, I think the first angle, it didn't even look like he cocked his leg back.
No.
It was just like a quick step into the ball, and that thing was blasted.
Yeah. Lovely goal.
He's finding form.
Yeah, I think, you know, as much as there was talk of, oh, was he really injured, you know, or was he just ducking out of international duty? I don't care. This international games didn't mean anything. England should be able to beat whoever they're going up against. They're not playing anyone big, you know. If Harry Kane wants to show up every international window and support the team, please do it. But, you know, I think there's enough England players. You should be able to rotate through and, you know, not have to call up your first team every single international break.
Can the man have some rest?
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's, and, you know, he was subbed out of the game before the break early, so I think his injury was credible enough that he got taken out early, because we know Arteta's going to play Saka every single minute. Like, that's the guy that's, as long as he's up and willing to run, he's first name on the team sheet. So I'm sure there was some level of injury. Was it enough to keep him out of the international team? I don't know, but he looks much better for it because he actually got a break. but yeah, so then second half rolls around. Thomas Partey comes in, just floating at the top of the box, unchecked. Saka finds him and just bangs it in.
He had so much time and space to do that.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't really know what to expect from this Forest team. Like, obviously they've had a good start to the season. And I don't know, I expected, I think, a little bit more of a problem, whether it's, you know, they just packed the box or they're coming at Arsenal more, but they didn't really seem to. They seemed to feel a little more, you know, akin to last season's Forest, where it's just disorganized and nothing works.
I think the Forest honeymoon is over, Chad. I think deforestation is coming. Okay. They got City, they got Villa, they got Brentford, they got Tottenham all the next five matches. Remember, their wins to start the season were against Southampton, Liverpool, we'll give them that one. And then Crystal Palace, Leicester, West Ham. So four out of five of those, probably toss-ups from the neutral. But now you're going to go on this run where it's, you need to probably win three out of the next five to still stay in that area of where you are. And I think they could have a chance of losing four out of the next five. If we're really looking at this table here and the schedule. So
yeah, I'd agree.
It was a nice run. They are the anti-Wolves. I'm on Wolves now over Forest. Would not shock me in a couple weeks if Wolves can catch up to Forest in the table.
I mean, yeah, only 10-point gap now. So
3 game swing.
That's it. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, and yeah, Ethan Wanneri gets in, gets a goal. I think he's now the like second youngest player. Only
17, Fabregas,
I think, was younger than him to score his first goal. So, great day. Great to have Arsenal winning by multiple goals again. And feel like it was like an all around win, not like something that was a nail biter or like the team wasn't playing well, but then this got like a scrappy goal. It felt like a nice, just dominant, straightforward win. Yeah, I think it was needed. You know, we'd go up against Sporting and Champions League, which won't be easy. And then who is next? Oh, West Ham next. So maybe an easy game. I don't know.
You don't know what you're going to get West Ham these days.
Yeah.
Well, good. Anything else on Arsenal here?
No, not really. It's kind of just a nice weekend.
Yep. Pleasant. Pleasant.
Yeah.
All right. We talked about it a little bit already, but we didn't talk about the pros for Tottenham here, but thank you, Tater Tots. Thank you. They made City look awful.
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, I think Tottenham played the exact same way they've been playing for the last year. There was nothing new, nothing special there. Very pacey. A lot of nice passes in the box. Madison had some great runs, great finishes. Yeah. Again, when he's healthy, he's arguably top 10 in the Premier League. That's just a rare sight to see. The Pearl goal, crisp, perfect. Tons of time and space to be able to do that. And
did you notice he didn't celebrate?
Yeah, I did. Why do you think that was?
So I was looking. He was signed by Man City, but he never played professionally for them. He was always loaned out. So I don't know why he felt, you know, that he shouldn't celebrate against his former club, but like, they weren't really your former club.
How old is he?
I didn't get that down, but in back of my head, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, you know, maybe he's just trying to leave some door open or something to like get back into City now as you know, yeah, you're at Tottenham, you're starting, but I think you're probably still aiming higher. And City's, you know, back line is a little bit rough. I don't know. It's probably nothing like that at all, but it was just funny that he wanted to show some respect to this club that I guess, you know, probably helped launch his professional career,
but he didn't
do anything with them.
That's the only, maybe it's just to pay respects, but at the same time, you can go down the list of players who never played for their club.
I mean, look at Chelsea, you know, they had their whole lone army of you know, De Bruyne, Salah, all these guys that, you know, maybe played a game or two, but but yeah, I mean, his goal was great. I just wish in a game like this where you're going away to the champions, like, you just got to let them have it from the goals to the celebration.
Let them know. Yeah. The theme of this weekend, for me personally, watching some of these highlights and the games themselves, atrocious defending.
Mm-hmm.
City's back line looked awful. Again, moments for Liverpool, probably the worst sequence I've seen when they let that goal in. The Leicester-Chelsea game, which we'll jump to, terrible defending.
Yeah.
A lot of bizarre moves that were done. So in Ange ball here, it worked out like perfect in their favor, just to pressure, quickness, pace, go to the box as quick as we can. And City looked like they had no idea how to stop it. And from start to finish, 13 minutes all the way till the 92nd minute, there was a goal being scored throughout that game. So didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I didn't pick this game in Pick'ems because I was like, trap game.
Really?
Yeah. Did you pick City?
See. Yeah. No. Well, I picked Tottenham to win because they're just...
Well done.
They're the bogey team. I don't know what it is. I don't know why City and Pep can't get past Tottenham, but they just always struggle. And maybe it is that you know, Tottenham always likes to just kind of play high pressure, high counter kind of football. And, you know, City wants it a little more controlled. But I think here you saw, especially the midfield for City was just, they were just overran. They were outpaced, outmaneuvered, you know, like that Poro goal. He just floats in super unmarked. No City players even close to him because they're trying to track back, but they're just not quick enough. And you know, it's just a weird point for City to be in, I guess, right now. Of like, you have had it good for a while, but now everyone's getting a little bit older. And yeah, you're missing some people here and there. But like, I don't know that De Bruyne is ever going to come back and be the De Bruyne that he was. You know, he's older. He's had some big injuries. He's already had, you know, multiple interviews where he talks about leaving and going to the next thing. So I think he's kind of checked out. You know, you brought back Gundogan, but
he's not going to save you.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the one to save you. You know, just a weird team. That's I don't know. And I felt like it was a weird time to announce Pep signing an extension too. Definitely. It was like, I guess maybe they were trying to soften the blow of the four defeats, but then here's a fifth defeat as you just like re-signed him. And I get like it's still Pep, so it's not a huge deal of, you know, we lost right away, but just weird. Weird team, weird spot. Keep losing, please.
All right. Who do you think is the second highest goal scorer on City?
Second highest? Stones.
He's fourth.
Oh, man.
Two-way tie for second. Vardiol and Kovacic with three.
Really?
That's the problem here with City is no one else is scoring goals besides Haaland. You jump over to Liverpool, and of course, Salah is running away with it. 10 goals and, what, 6 assists now? But he's got some backup here with Diaz scoring 5, and then a lot of 2s and a lot of 1s. That list goes pretty far down, all the way to 12 men deep. Cities, they have 6 goal scorers on the season.
Oof.
And yeah, I get I mean, you have Haaland, but...
But, yeah, you need to spread that around. And, you know, I think, you know, Grealish has kind of just been made into, like, a crossing machine on the wing rather than, you know, really taking on and driving in. And it seems like Doku's kind of going the same route when he plays. Savinho seems to drive in still a little bit more.
Yep.
But, it seems to be just Haaland, the one that's, like, really driving into the box and making things happen. But even, you know, Foden seems to get so many of his goals from just, like, either a late run or like, the back post run sort of thing. And he's not even figuring that out this season. So they got problems.
Not my problem. all right. Well done, Tots. It's our turn this weekend. You knew who I will be picking, but I won't hate others if they pick City too, but ride the wave, ride the ride the red wave. Whew.
There you go.
Tough one. Chad, Steve Cooper got fired. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised if he was that close to being fired, they waited until after the international break.
That's just a fair take.
Before, and then you have 2 weeks with a new coach.
Why would it be on riding on this game between Chelsea? I mean, if it was, let's see, their last loss was against United, and then the draw against Ipswich.
I mean, it doesn't feel like the Chelsea game should have been the decider, right? Like it, I think you probably go into that game at most hoping for a draw. You know, I don't think you're expecting to win that, and this was some big upset. And you know, I think your performances over the season haven't been great either. I don't know. I never really liked Cooper in that role. I feel like he's too much of just a scrape to get by and survive, which I understand is, you know, a for a newly promoted side is a big deal, right? Just to survive that first season and stay up and start bringing in more money and all that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird timing, I think. Just like if it was that close where you said, all right, next loss, he's out, I would just do it before the break. You have 2 weeks with either the interim or a new coach. Just kind of reset and restart. And now you don't. You got 7 days until your next game. And,
and who are you going to hire? Yeah. Who's coming in? I think we both raised our eyebrows when Lester hired Steve Cooper to begin with. It's like, were you not watching Forest for the last 3 years? Like, this is exactly what you're going to get. And what do you know? They're pretty much playing like Forest has for the last 3 years. And Forest is now sitting at the top of the table. So a little backwards there. Don't really understand that one. Who does Forest bring in that even wants to be at Forest right now? I could see this being an interim coach situation for a little bit.
I mean, I think so. I think, you know, no name comes to mind, but I think you could probably look down into championship and grab someone that's looking promising or doing well.
I got one for you. I just Googled it just to see if it was rumored, and it was Graham Potter. Okay.
Graham Potter.
It's a throwback.
Comes out, comes back into it for Leicester. Could be okay. I mean, I think he plays pretty safe like Cooper tries to do, but I think he also was a little bit more attack minded. You know, just trying to think of like his Brighton days especially. Mm-hmm. So that could be good. Honestly, the first name that came to mind was Luton's coach from last year. I don't even know who that was. Rob Edwards.
Oh, yes. He's still with them though, right?
Still with them, and I think Luton is not doing great in the league. They're in 16th right now, so you know, maybe an off year, maybe he's not the one, but I think whether it was maybe him or just the team or a combination of both really started to kind of figure out Premier League as last season went on for them. And I thought he was able to instill some drive and mm-hmm. fight into those Luton players that, you know, every game we saw was like, yeah, they went down, but then they're always fighting back and almost getting wins out of these games. So, I don't know, maybe a risky one to take, you know, it's considering you're only 1 point out of relegation right now, but, I don't know. It would have been nice to have 2 weeks to search and look and figure it out. But
you know, it's a mad dash. We need a coach.
Yeah.
Well, that game was atrocious, so I'm not shocked that he got fired. That was some of the worst defending I've seen this year out of any team. Those goals that Chelsea scored, watching Leicester trying to clear it, it was so, like, what are you doing? Literally boot it, and they opted not to. So yeah, that was a rough one. Rough one to watch.
Yeah, no good. I'm starting to question this Chelsea team if they're like kind of not the real deal, but like more of a threat now than they have been in years.
I will say, just looking at the stats and everything else, Palmer doesn't have to be this amazing, give me the ball so I have to score 6 goals in a game to keep us in it. So that's a plus, I think. It'll be interesting to see when this team goes up against who's the next big team they go against? I guess Aston Villa would be a good one. Who is the difference maker in that game? Because if I'm looking at the game, I'm not taking Chelsea. Strictly because they kind of shit the bed in these big games. I mean, draw against United. They drew Arsenal. That's, I guess, a win in their book. Lost Liverpool. The Brighton game is probably their highlight of the season. The 4-2 victory.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't really played that. Again, they'll be tested. They got Villa coming up. They got Tottenham coming up. Brentford will be a challenge. So I think, again, this next month is going to decide a lot of things. I think there's going to be some big shifts.
For sure.
If there aren't a lot of draws, I think we'll start to see some actual I don't know, direction of where these teams probably should be. Because it's too clustered right now. 10-2 is kind of nuts.
Yeah. And I feel like with Chelsea, it's been, you know, for the first time, and it feels like a long time, kind of the same starting 11, which has been working. But I think as we get into this month, and especially the holiday festive period where it's, you know, what, 3 games in 8 days or something crazy like that, they're going to be forced to rotate, and then we'll kind of see what their depth looks like and you know, how everyone fits the roles. So, I'm feeling, I guess, a little bit more like Chelsea's getting it together. They're not as much of the laughing stock as they were, but still kind of keeping my distance on saying they're here, they're going to fight.
Yep. I agree with that. What do you think of Man United? New look, same team?
Yeah, you know, nothing really blew me away here. They didn't seem all that different. I guess, you know, maybe started a little bit more like quicker and more intentional than they did under Ten Hag, but I don't know. You know, Ipswich at home is, I think, a tricky one just because they're kind of like Luton. They're going to fight. They're going to have the fans right behind them there. So never going to be an easy game, but I think you would have wanted United to at least come away with a win there. Yeah, I don't know. I felt like they, once they got their goal, they were still playing, but I think they let Ipswich get back into the game, and then Ipswich looked like the more likely side to get a winner.
That's what I thought. I thought Onana kept them in this game by making some incredible saves. I thought this was Ipswich's game to maybe get some points out of. The graphic I saw, though, after this game was Ten Hag really liked to play on the right-hand side and kind of overload the right. In this game, small sample size, but Emerson was overloading the left. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm not too sure why yet. I mean, we look at the wingers that are playing for United and their forwards. I mean, they're not... It's nothing special.
It could be as simple as, you know, he also has that data of like, well, yeah, United always play on the right. So first game in, I haven't had a lot of time with everyone. We're playing through the left, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I heard him in his post-match interview kind of saying that it looked like some of his players were still getting stuck in like the thought process of, you know, what Ten Hag would want them to do and not playing so freely, which I think will be good for United if he can kind of come in and just like get players to play again rather than, you know, trying, I don't know, do some big brain Ten Hag thing that never really panned out. But, I mean, yeah, hard to judge them off of this one. I don't know. I mean, the highlight from this is Hutchinson's goal, which is incredible. But as a United fan, I'm sure you would want to have some highlight for yourself, which, like, there wasn't really any. Like, I guess Rashford scored again, so that's good.
Diallo looked nice on that first 80 seconds, then he kind of disappeared after that.
The Onana save. So, yeah, I guess there's moments, but...
Bruno looked motivated. Looked motivated. So that's a good sign. I think playing for a coach who's from your country does add a little bit to it, especially when you're the captain, right? He's probably looking at you a little bit heavier, you know, wanting you to be the decisive one on the pitch. Because he did seem... I try to watch Man United often. I think it's very entertaining to watch. He seemed a bit more fired up when a shot was missed or a pass could have been made. And I don't remember really seeing that. I saw a frustrated Bruno in the past that looked like he wanted to give up. This one, it was like a more like, we need to get this. And of course, they didn't get the result, but at least that's, I don't know, a step forward for them.
Yeah.
It might go away next week. Who knows? Because that guy's a roller coaster and you really just don't know what you're going to get. But yeah, nothing special yet. Small sample size. Man U's got Everton next. So that could be a game that they either unload on them or Everton turtles up like they did against Brentford and play pretty defensively.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm good if they continue to fail.
Mm.
If they get a little bit better, mm-hmm. all right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. Everton, Brentford. Not a lot happening there. Everton controlled the ball more, surprisingly. I think that's probably, if we look in the box score, yeah. Not a lot of touches for the Stars on Brentford. So not sure what happened there. I'm sure the red card did make a difference in that.
Yeah, I mean, it has to make a difference, but I think, you know, Brentford should still be able to find a way to kind of play the game and get their good guys on the ball and try and make some attacks, and just didn't look like they could.
Yeah. The Aston Villa Crystal Palace game, I was like, is Crystal Palace going to be able, is this the start of their season right now? I don't want to call it a draw that feels like a loss for Palace, but when Barkley scored his equalizer, Emery was not happy. He was not thrilled. And no. I kind of get it, because Barkley looked like he wanted to throw people off of him and celebrate like crazy. And I'm sure, you know, I was like, dude, this is Palace. Yeah. We should be crushing them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened to Villa there. You know, Palace seemed to play pretty much to the level that they've been playing. Like, it didn't seem like they were doing anything extra special. But they had Sarr run through a couple times, you know, especially that first goal. So he was causing problems, but I think he was the only one, you know, really giving you something different.
Yep.
Otherwise, you know, Palace was still using Mitchell, still using Munoz, still using Mateta, like pretty standard affair. So I don't know what happened in Villa, why they couldn't get together. But I think they're, what, on a little bit of a weird patch of form here now.
Yeah, they haven't won since the middle of October, so they're actually on a longer winless streak than City.
Yeah, so I don't know what's changed there. I mean, you know, obviously Ollie Watkins was not scoring and not doing much for a while, and, you know, got back on the score sheet this week, but I don't know. They got to figure something out, because they started hot, and then they fizzled out pretty quick.
Duran's cooled off.
Yeah,
he hasn't hit any really game winners.
Yeah, I will say my favorite moment from this game. Well, first, Dean Henderson makes a penalty save without wearing a hat,
mm-hmm.
just straight up Dean Henderson. And then, like a minute or two later, his team takes the ball down, scores their second goal, and Dean Henderson celebrating this the same way as the strikers up top, doing the knee slide into the fans and stuff. He's loving it, and I was like, that's what I want to see from the keepers, is like actual, like pure celebration of the goal, and like recognizing that like this very easily could have been the other way if I didn't make that big penalty save. So love to see it.
The one bright moment for Palace this season.
Yes.
I mean, arguably their biggest point they've gotten this season. I guess Tottenham, they beat Tottenham. That was a big one.
I was going to say Tottenham, but I mean, yeah, this is big too. I mean, Villa, yeah, well, they've been in a weird funk. I think still is no slouch at home, so. And you kind of just went mostly toe-to-toe with them, like, you know, out-possessed, but otherwise shots are pretty similar. You know, I think your goals looked better and more deserving than Villa's did, so. Yeah, I don't know. Weird spot for Palace, still just floating down there in relegation. Still just kind of bummed it's not working out.
They did this to themselves.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Chad, our theory of the Wolves come up is in full fruition.
Here we go. Season starts now.
Were you shocked at the scoreline? Because I wasn't.
4-1 shocked me. A
little bit?
Yeah, just because Fulham's been playing decent, I thought it was either going to be a draw or just like a one goal swing here. Not a 4-1 Wolves are out for blood thrashing.
I think the Wolves are going to be on a scoring tear here. I mean, they've been scoring goals. I mean, let's look at the table here. How many goals have they put in this season? They got to have more than most of the bottom.
They've got 20 scored, 28 allowed.
So where does that, if we rank goals scored right now,
they're up there.
They're eighth.
Yeah.
So
it's not bad.
They're in okay spot.
But yeah, they were just struggling against, I mean, as we found out, struggling against, you know, top half of the table, basically.
They don't got to worry about that anymore.
No, they're good for a while now. So, yeah, like we said, you know, these are the games they need to win and should win. And so far, they've done it. So they look great. They look lively. They look like they were having fun. I don't know. Fulham kind of let me down here. I thought they were going to do a little bit better.
Yeah, their defense is pretty bad.
Yeah.
No, I don't know much about Bassey, Calvin Bassey, but I like Diop back there. I thought he was solid, and I thought him with Anderson would be a good match. But when Anderson came in, he got Diop's spot.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Bassey either, but the few times I've seen him, certainly, you know, I think a little bit quicker than Diop, but I feel like he's more prone to mistakes, where Diop, I think, is a little bit more controlled in his defense and, you know, positioning and all that. So, I don't know, something for Fulham to figure out. I mean, they certainly had a good amount of chances here. Like, Jimenez has a easy tap, and then he just bangs off the crossbar somehow. I think Anthony Robinson, I think, had a decent shot saved. And then I think one or two others that were, like, pretty decent, but just not landing right. But Wolves, on the other hand, just everything they were doing was working.
Oh, Cunha was on fire. Both his goals were amazing. Iwobi's goal was nice, though. He's right-footed, right?
I believe so.
And let's see. I don't know where that would be.
Yeah, I never looked up what foot a player plays with. Maybe transfer markets is.
FC right. Football right ratings. FC 25 database has him as right footed. Well, the left.
Thanks, EA.
Yeah, yeah. The goal he scored with his left was nice. Really nice. Really well placed. So that was, again, their one bright spot. But then after that, the Wolves just went for it. And, yeah, Cunha's goal. I think I like Cunha's second goal more.
Yeah, that was a very nice one. Yeah, I mean, I have Cunha's second on my goal of the week nomination. So,
mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, both were great. And, what, he got an assist in there too, I think. Yeah, assist as well. So, yeah, like you said, on fire. And if they can continue to build with this and ride the momentum, yeah, they're gonna shoot up the table here.
It's a matter of time, and then we get to tell everyone we told you so on episode 82. All right, we got Bournemouth and Brighton for the weekend. I didn't really care too much about this game. I actually thought Bournemouth would maybe put more of a fight up. They didn't get the goal till late. The Matoma goal. I want to go back. How close was he to being off?
It's got to be incredibly close. I watched the highlights and they like kind of show it, but not really. Like not enough for me to get a good look. But the frame they did show, it looked like he was kind of leaning past who I think might have been the last defender, but again, it was like such a brief frame that they showed in the highlights. I didn't really get to see too much, but I mean, man, it was right there. But the pass was incredible, perfectly placed where he needed it, slots it in.
Looking at it right now, Chad, I would call it off.
I don't know. They check it apparently, so
They do check it. Who knows what that check looks like? But it was the pass was great. Perfectly weighted. The way he slots the ball too, to just stay driven low and super hard to the corner. Yeah, one of Matoma's classic runs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brighton, where are they at on the table right now? They got to be up there too.
Yeah, they're fifth. 22 points with Arsenal and Chelsea.
They're doing what West Ham. What I thought West Ham would do. That's what I thought West Ham would be. And then Bournemouth. Yeah, we never know what we're gonna get with Bournemouth. They'll beat City.
Yeah.
That's all they'll do.
And that's all we can ask them, you know?
Oh, and Arsenal.
Well, yeah, okay. No, but yeah, I think Bournemouth kind of the same as some of these other teams this week, just had a lot of good opportunities, but the finishing just let them down. The goal they got, I think the Brighton defense just fell apart, so staying on theme with the bad defending, like Brooks was wide open. I don't know how he got so wide open, who wasn't looking over there, but yeah, they looked like they were playing well, just couldn't find the back of the net, so there you go.
And then last but not least, West Ham and Newcastle. I had Newcastle winning this game, and of course West Ham had to do it. Newcastle is turning into one of the more confusing teams, I think, in the Premier League right now. The ultimate coin flip. I think you could coin flip every one of their games for the rest of the season and have a good chance of getting it right.
I feel like you're spot on. I mean, just looking at, the goals for, goals against, 13 and 13, it's...
Wow. Is it really?
Yeah, so it's, a pretty even team in both scoring and bad defending, I guess. But, Newcastle's just not the team that they were. I don't really know what's changed. Like, they haven't sold or brought anyone in to really upset things, but
I know Nick Pope is the most overrated goalkeeper now in the league.
Maybe it could be
Chad, the goal that West Ham scored, I think the Wan-Bissaka one, Wan-Bissaka was flat-footed, Chad.
Yeah,
he stepped up to the ball and hit it, and Nick Pope, I don't know what he was doing. The ball went to his right. He like alligator armed it, didn't stretch out, didn't like look like he had it, the way he rolled to the ground looked like he was in slow motion. And he's tall. He's not that tall. He's not Carlos Miguel, 6'7", right? He's what, 6'4"?
6'3". So.
Okay, so you've proven my point even more.
6'3", but I mean, he's only 32. We're 32. We could make that.
Well, I'm saying last year he wasn't around, right? It was Dubravka. Right. He was doing it all. And I think Newcastle at this point was probably in a better place. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest difference I see, and just the way teams are scoring against them. I mean, West Ham hasn't done shit this year, let's be honest. Yeah. And for them to put two pretty easy goals past you, one from Socek, who, yeah, the man's tall. I get it. He can win those headers.
But they like didn't even defend him, though.
No, they didn't. So like, I get that's not Pope's fault. But at the same time, I just think Pope has just been kind of garbage this season.
Yeah, I'd agree. I was kind of thinking maybe he was still, a little mental block from his injury, but it was a shoulder injury, so I guess it might stop you from diving as freely as you might have before. Mm-hmm. But he returned to play, or at least full training in May, so like he's had a lot of time to work through this on the pitch and in games and stuff. So I don't know if it would be that's kind of slowing him down, but yeah, I mean, Pope certainly doesn't look as good as he was for a while, but maybe it was more just defenders in front of him were doing really well, and then, you know, the few shots he that got through were more predictable. I don't know, but at this point, I think, you know, Newcastle is 10th right now, and I think you got to start trying something new. I think maybe bring in Dubravka. And, you know, he would always seem to do a decent job, the same, if not better than Pope. I wouldn't say it was any worse. Yeah, I don't know, because you got some big names in there, and, you know, some of those big names have been there for a few seasons, and we're clicking, we're working well together, and you know, had all this pace, and we're just, like, overrun teams, and, you know, I haven't really seen that at all.
Trippier was the glue.
Could be, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think they used him a lot, and so much so that he can no longer play with them anymore.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to be their bright spot, and now he played in Euros, well, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he played often.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're another one with, you know, I thought managers may be on the chopping block here soon. I get Newcastle is, you know, got bought out, but whatever Saudi sports group or whatever, but are trying to do it the more legal way and not just like overspend their way to the top. So, you know, you'll have some off times and off seasons, but I don't know. I don't think you want to be down in 10th with only 13 goals scored, and
I mean,
only 13 allowed is pretty good, but to have it, you know, be a zero goal differential at this point is pretty rough.
Yeah. They're bottom six for goals scored right now.
Yeah. Not great.
Yep. Them and United are neck and neck there. But it's like, I look at United, and they don't have any forwards that I would argue, that I would want. Okay, we'll say that.
It's fair.
Yeah. With Newcastle, I like Isaac. I think he's solid. Mm-hmm. I like Gordon, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with those two, you think you could muster up more than Isaac has 4 goals on the season, Gordon has 2.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Well,
I'm just thinking, too, is like, you know, I feel like, we used to see Bruno get up there and get some goals too, and he doesn't seem to be playing as far forward anymore.
Almirón?
Yeah, he's non-existent now. I don't know what happened to him. Even, you know, Dan Byrne, I get he's defender, so his, you know, chances up top are going to be few and far between, but he was getting up there causing issue and scoring some goals for you, so something's changed tactically or, you know, mentally or something. Something's just off for that team, and I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie Howe's the next manager to go.
I think that's a pretty fair take. Looking at the table, yeah, I think you could be right there.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I'm okay to let Newcastle kind of flounder. Like, I don't really feel a type of way either way about them, but just, you know, they kind of had a come up the past couple seasons, and now it's fallen real flat. Although they do have Palace next, so it might be one to spark it, or Palace gets a win, and then that Eddie, you're gone, man. Sorry.
I'm coin flipping that game.
Yeah, that's fair. It's entirely fair.
I don't know. I don't know who I would take in that one, to be honest.
Palace at home, if that sways
with the
you
way
anyway.
With the way Palace played this weekend, I would take Palace.
For sure.
But yeah, if it's the way Castle played Arsenal, however, Arsenal did that to themselves, let's be real.
Yeah.
But again, don't know. Too hard to say on that one. Too close. Too close.
Yeah.
All right. We got our EPL there. Chad, I want to talk the new VAR rule and thoughts on it. My feelings are, I don't know. The way the replay system works in professional sports, a lot of the way this is going, the new VAR system. Do you have the acronym on hand?
FVS, which is Football Video Support System.
Basically a challenge system like we see in the NFL. Coaches get 2 challenges in the game. If they get the first challenge right, they get to keep their next challenge. They get to use it whenever they see a call they don't like. I imagine this is going to be mostly for offside goals or any type of potential handball, whatever.
Yeah.
The problem I'm having with this right now, just looking at this, is the inconclusive calls, okay? You challenge it. It's inconclusive. You lose your challenge because you technically weren't right. Later in the game, something happens, clear and obvious. You don't get to challenge it. That happens too often in major sports. And when it's something so clear and obvious that it should be changed and it's not because you didn't get the call right that was borderline a half hour ago, it makes coaches not want to use challenges at all.
Sure.
And that drives me crazy.
So would you rather they just get the challenge anytime? And
I think you up the number.
Up the number.
I think you up the number and you don't lose any.
It's fair.
You don't lose them in the NFL, but I do believe you lose them in basketball. I'll have to double check that. And I'm pretty sure you get two in basketball to take a look at. And I get it. Like, you don't want an unlimited amount, right? Because then you're just going to be, you're nitpicking everything. I do like it in terms of VAR not having to review certain things that don't need reviewing, because it's just, it looks obvious. And at the same time, reviewing stuff that they should have gotten right in the first place. And that's what's going to suck too, is if it's so obvious and they missed it, you're going to have to burn a challenge on it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think it's a good tool to have for coaches. I think they do need to kind of tailor it to work with the flow of, you know, football matches, where it's, you know, American sports have a lot of stoppages in them, right? So you kind of have that moment to pause and look at your iPad of your replay of it and kind of decide what to do, where, you know, these matches, sometimes the foul happens that doesn't get called and play is going back down the other end. So is this, you know, something you just got to kind of go on instinct of, like, that looks bad and throw the flag right away, or
yeah, how much time are you getting, right?
Yeah. Or maybe they just have to limit it, you know, purely to what, goals, offsides, red cards, you know, things like that, where it's moments where play will stop anyway. I don't know, but I think you bring a good point, though, of, like, you want coaches to be able to use this, so you need the calls already to be correct, and then, yeah, these are your, like, bailout, but then, you don't necessarily want to punish them for just having you double-check something. I don't know. It's a tough one, and I like it. I like where they're going with it, but I think, it does need to be kind of workshopped a little bit more and figure out how it kind of fits into the game.
Yeah, I don't know when we'll get to see it. I know it was kind of just thrown out there in the last week. It looked interesting. I do think there's many ways you can tweak it to make it work really well, but also at the same time, you're always going to have some type of problem. There's always going to be something you can't challenge. You know, there's weird loopholes to in the NBA where you can't challenge, like, an inbound out of bounds or something, and that has screwed teams over. Something like that will happen. Like, it's supposed to be a corner for a team, but they rule it a goal kick, and then they go down and score, and they're still saying it should have been a corner kick. I threw my challenge flag, whatever it might be. I just think what commentating we saw in the United game this weekend was the VAR room had a fire evacuation happening in the middle of it. And the commentators were, I don't think joking, but were like, oh, we don't get VAR for the next X amount of minutes or so. The crowd is going to hear it soon and enjoy it. And they were saying something along the lines of, like, it doesn't need to come back. That's fine. And then I think to save it, to kind of suck up a little bit, one announcer was like, no, we're just kidding. Like, it can come back.
Yeah.
It just goes to show kind of where everyone's head is at right now and how, I think, I don't want to say over it we are, but definitely heavy modification needs to come to keep it around and be relevant in this in the same way other professional sports has it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone's kind of coming to that point where it's just like there are clear benefits to having VAR and being able to mm-hmm. review plays and stuff, but it, at least in the Premier League, has not been implemented in a way that I think a lot of people imagined it would be. And then it doesn't help when you have them review something and it like it the call doesn't work out the way the review looks like it should, and you know, it just gets weird and kind of takes away the value of VAR, I guess. But
prime example, here's a great one. In the NBA, some coaches will challenge an out of bounds play, but in the out of bounds play they see a foul happening in it. Well, the coach isn't challenging the foul, they're challenging the out of bounds. So what's probably going to happen in football is we're going to see some he wasn't offside. Well, actually, he was onside, but he fouled the opponent here. So it's going to be some weird, like, you weren't challenging the foul. You were challenging the offside rule, but because he was on and, like, well, it's going to be something stupid like that. It's going to make everyone go crazy because the rest are like, you weren't challenging that. Yes, yes, there was a foul, but that's not what you challenged. And then it's like, then what are we doing here? What's the whole point of this?
Yeah.
You still didn't get it right. You're still wrong. It happens all the time. The one thing that the NFL does do right, though, is within 2 minutes of halftime, all plays are reviewable, and then all scoring, all touchdowns, no matter what, is reviewed. So you don't have to, you're not burning anything there. So maybe they can do something like that. They're gonna have to really tell the linesman to keep the flags down so play stays on, which is kind of already happening now. So we're kind of already used to that. But you can't just have random whistle blowing refs here and there anymore. That would have to go, Anthony Taylor. You can't do that.
yeah, I think it would put a little different pressure on the refs for sure. I don't know. It just all depends on like what they allow to be challenged,
right,
and how frequently, and you know, all that. But yeah, I think a step in the right direction. They just got to figure out a good way to implement it. And I think, you know, FIFA as a whole will, because they seem to be kind of accepting of more tech in the games. You know, we've seen the semi-automated offsides, we've seen the sensor for like the handball thing in the ball at the World Cup. I think it's really just Premier League that's hesitant to bring in all this tech and utilize it to its full potential. I feel like it'll probably be that way for a few years until there's some bigger shift in the reffing side of the league. So I don't know. It gives it time to grow, I guess, in other areas, other leagues, and then get brought in, hopefully.
Until then, food for thought, though. Fun to have something different and new thrown out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see where it runs. All right, Chad, should we get to our nominations here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give flowers to Ipswich for drawing United, even though United ain't anything special right now. It's still fun to see them struggle. So
yeah,
I'll give them flowers there. But the team of the week is the Tater Tots. Another City loss. Another anyone but City win. We're going to ride this out now. Let's keep it going. I should see. It's going to be Liverpool next week. I don't know who the week is after that. But let's see if we can get to the new year.
The week after.
Don't be Southampton. Really? Don't be Southampton.
It's not Southampton. Oh, yeah, they got Forest. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Nominations for you?
I mean, Tottenham is my winner. You did the whole league a favor there. But I'm shouting out Wolves, getting your season back on track.
Yeah.
And also West Ham for winning a game and
not being complete shit this weekend.
Yeah, you know, they looked like they kind of knew what they were doing for once. You know, regardless of Nick Pope's ability, but some nice changes in the league of you know who's winning now. But I mean, Tottenham to go to City's home, smash them with four goals, make them look like they can't even keep up with you, that's a big win. So thank you.
For real. Big Tottenham fan that day. Couldn't believe it. My player, I'm going to kind of ride the Tottenham wave here, but shout out to Cunha, shout out to Salah. Vicario, broken foot, clean sheet, five saves. Out for 6 to 8 weeks now. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's all you needed. You could take the season off at this rate. Of course, shout outs to Madison, but I don't ever believe we've really given it out to keepers. This it's one nice feels for, so for does it, yeah. so earned.
Yeah, and some of the saves he was making were pretty great too, so happy to give it to him. Otherwise, yeah, I kind of got the same list. Everyone that kind of had a goal and assist seemed to be a good theme this week.
Like, yeah, there was a few of them.
Saka, Sar, Cunha, two goals, one assist. João Pedro, one goal, one assist. Salah, two goals, you know. Great performances on the attacking end, but we love to see a good keeper performance, and especially one that you find out after the fact he's playing half the game with a broken foot. So
we got to find a way to work that into our episode title.
Yeah.
We'll think about that one. Goals, take it away.
Goals. I mean, I already gushed over Saka's goal, so he's in there. Yeah. Iwobi's curler was great. Cunha's second was great. Salah's little perfect kiss of the ball. Incredible. Hutchinson's curler. A lot of curlers this week, but...
The Hutchinson one, the deflection. If that didn't deflect...
It does take away from it.
That was goal of the week for me. It was like kissed off. He kicked that ball so hard, it barely looked like it had any type of movement off the head. But it was just enough. I think Onana probably would have saved it if it didn't do that.
Probably.
But
I like seeing it going against United.
Game of inches.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of my list. I mean, I think as much as I love the Saka goal, that Salah goal just looks so crazy. But so calm at the same time. And the pass was incredible to him. So probably going Salah on this one.
I just can't disagree with that just because of the noises I made when I watched it. And Gravenberch is just on fire. We're calling him a gravy baby. It's incredible. That guy is right now in top five leagues. I want to say this is true stat. Top five leagues in Europe. He is the only one with 30 blocks, 30 interceptions, and 30 tackles.
Dang.
Yep. So perfectly well-rounded. And now he's lobbing balls to our greatest player of all time. Just nice little soft toe touch into the back of the net. Three-game goal scoring streak. I think we're going to see another streak here.
I think so.
I think we're due for one. I think he's found us some rhythm again. And,
He's got a weakened City side next. A weak City defense, so
we know.
I don't know. He's going to be up for it. He's going to be wanting to put a nail in that coffin and you know, increase the points lead. And
yeah,
I believe him.
Me too. Me too. Shouts Kelleher. We didn't do it, but the PK save, and of course they score on the rebound. But screw that. This dude's playing out of his mind. He's getting the attention of a lot of teams right now. I'm a little scared we're gonna sell him just because of what Allison is to us.
Probably will. Yeah.
But man, he's been outstanding. So I think we're gonna really be patient with Allison's return. But shout outs to him too for playing lights out. Chad, we did it. Anything else?
I think that's all. That's it. We're back. No international break until March or something now.
Dude, it's go
time.
So
thank God.
It is go time. Big week ahead of us. Champions League starts back up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We ride it out, and I'll see you Sunday, hopefully after the City game. Hopefully I'll be like this.
I think you will be. I'm feeling confident.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Get your pick-ems in. Good luck to you, and we'll see you next time on Hooligans Pitch. Peace.